If you have been around these ear parts this year, you will know as a church we have set ourselves four priorities that is guiding our work and our thinking this year. They come from what we believe God has been telling us about the way forward this year and the year to come. There's an acronym, is that the right, of ROPE. They each begin with different beginning letters that form the word ROPE, which is the picture of unity that God shared with us and gave us to concentrate. And so we're going to be thinking about them all throughout the year, preaching at either the morning or the evening service, and there they are on the screen. The word ROPE, which forms four different words: resources, outreach, prayer, and expectation. So today, and for the next 2 weeks, we're thinking about our resources and growing our resources. We're thinking about not just our financial resources, but our people resources. Growing our finances as a church and growing our team of volunteers who serve and make everything happen, because both are really needed at the moment. And we'll be hearing why over the next couple of weeks. So if you were at the church meeting on Wednesday, you'll know there's a number of different things we're doing, as well as talking about them on a Sunday morning or an evening. So including the lovely church treasurer, Jimmy, he's going around each of the fellowship groups to have a little conversation with the fellowship groups. We've made some sensible, cost-effective changes to bits of our building, so thank you to the building team who are constantly working to make sure that we've got things working that are effective. And we're constantly looking and working with those who serve and volunteer here. We want to grow our resources, our people resources, our money resources. We want to be generous in our serving and in our giving. So, we're thinking about generosity today, and I asked you if you would class yourself as generous. Yes? Colin is shaking his head already, okay? The dictionary describes generosity as the quality of being kind and generous. That's really helpful, isn't it? The quality or fact of being plentiful or large. I think that's related to food. I think you eat a generous portion kind of thing. Does that sound like how you live your life? Kind and generous. Plentiful or large. I wonder. I asked you two questions as you were coming in earlier. What one word would you use to describe God, and how has God been generous to you? Let me tell you what you said. Some interesting spelling, guys. I think some of this must be children. You have said God is faithful, in control, merciful, forgiving, constant, gorgeous, creator, present, mind, forgiving, understanding, superhero, awesome, never changing, amazing, spelt with an S, father, healer, patient, trustworthy, generous. Somebody read what the sermon was about today. Trustworthy, merciful. I asked you, how has God been generous to you? And you have said, he gave me everything I have. Gave me my first car and my first house. Generous in creation, in forgiveness, in eternal life. Adoption, love, salvation, faithful, He is loving, supportive, fab family and lovely Christian family. He shows us his beauty in his love and his care. He loves even me. Even me. Or you, whoever wrote that. He honors, he's honoring and faithful and sacrificial in his giving. Okay. Would you agree with all of that? Yes. So would I. So what one word would you use to describe God is about who God is. It's about his character. And how has God been generous to you is the outworking of his character that you have seen in your life. Earlier on this week, I went to a preaching masterclass. I went all the way to Chorley in Lancashire, which for those who know me well know that that was sacrificial. I'm from Yorkshire, if you don't know. The bloke who was running it said, if you can't say your main point in a single sentence, your audience will never remember it. He said, a mist in the pulpit is like a fog in the pews. So here is my one big point in a sentence, but that does not give you excuse to fall asleep. Just because you're hearing it early on. Okay, my one big point is this. God is lavishly generous to us. Amen? Amen. And our response back is generosity. Amen, thank you. My work here is done. So, God is lavishly generous to us, and our response back is generosity. Our generosity is our heart's overflow of our gratefulness to God. So next week, Dan will be thinking about the generosity of how we use our resources of time and our talents. Okay? How we serve. And the week after, Nick is going to be thinking about the resources of our treasure and our money. Oh, we love talking about money, the British, don't we? Good luck, Nick. And the aim is not to guilt people into anything, but to share together, to inspire you. But yes, also to challenge you. But today we're starting with the why of our generosity, which, as I've already said in one sentence, God is lavishly generous to us, and our response back is generosity. We are called to be people who give back to God in gratefulness. Have you heard of the five love languages? Yes, some of you are nodding. So the premise of the five love languages, written by a psychologist, I think, is that we're all different people with different personalities. People give and receive love in different ways. We're all different. We all appreciate different things. My husband, my lovely husband, likes non-league football. I do not appreciate that. I love Take That gigs. So does Ali. Paul may not appreciate that in the same way that I do. We are all different people who appreciate and spark off different things. So the idea of the five love languages is knowing what your partner or your child or your sibling or your work colleague or friend prefers, you can connect more deeply. So there are five love languages: acts of service, quality time, words of affirmation, physical touch, and receiving gifts. I am firmly and truly in the receiving gifts camp. Now that sounds really superficial, doesn't it? It's like, bring me the presents. That does sound superficial, but it's not actually about the gifts. I love buying for other people. There is nothing better in my Louise-shaped head than seeing the joy on someone's face when you have picked out something that is completely them-shaped and that you have made them go, wow! Because you always know when people are faking it when they open a present. And it's the same for me. It's not about the actual gift. It's about the thought that's gone into it, that someone has loved you enough to think about and come up with something you shaped. I am definitely a love language gift giver and receiver. And I reckon that's one of God's love languages as well. God is by nature the giver of the best gifts. God's very nature is generosity and goodness. So what's God given you? We shared some of those. But I thought I'd share just four things of how God has lavishly, generously chucked his good gifts at you that calls us to be generous back in response. And the first is this, God's generosity in creation. Just go outside and open your eyes and you will see what God has done. I'm not talking about Costa, although for some of us, that is also a God-given gift. Caffeine, we love it. Psalm 8 says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is humankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. God's generosity is displayed in the abundance and the diversity of creation. Here's an example you might have seen on the news this week. I will audio describe this. This is a new species of sea slug that has been discovered for the first time in the UK. It's not the prettiest of sea slugs, but what's different about this species of sea slug is a kind of a comb filter fin that has never been seen before. It has a long name. I'm going to attempt it. Plural. Anybody else would like to give it a go? Pleurobranchia britannica. The Britannica is obviously because discovered on the coastal waters of the southwest. God gives us sea slugs. Now, sea slugs might not be your first thing that go, oh, thank you, Lord, for the Pleurobranchia britannica and its very exciting fin-like filtering thing. Thank you, Lord. But you might like a West Kirby sunset. There's a West Kirby sunset, and there's another West Kirby sunset. You pick your nature. Be it a waterfall, or a sunset, or a donkey, or a flower, or a landscape, or a dog, whatever. It's a reminder that every sunset, that every breath you take, every meal you eat, is a testament to God's generosity, because he gave it first. James reminds us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. So what has God given us? God has given us generosity in creation. Do we agree? Thank you. Just keeping you awake. What else has God given us? God's generosity is shown in provision. There's a passage in Matthew's gospel where Jesus is telling those who listen to him not to worry about the everyday material things of life. Not to worry about food or clothes, because God is generous and will provide. Jesus said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" God is generous in creation. He is generous in how he provides for us. Amen. Do we agree? Fantastic. Just keeping you awake. Number three is a biggie. It's a good one. We've sung about it already. God is generous in his redemption. Ephesians 1, verse 7 to 8 says this, in him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance to the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. Word of the day clearly is lavished. What's that mean? Romans 5, verse 8 says this, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." I love that. When we were far away from God, when we were living our own lives, not even realizing that we needed him, he loved us enough to die for us. That is ridiculously generous generosity. Who else is generous enough to die for you? And there's more. Hang on. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Wow. Let that sit. For our sake, for your sake, for Jim, for Val, for Ali, for insert your own name, for our sake, he was made sin so that we could be clean and right before God. Jesus on the cross dies, taking on our crud, taking on all the stuff that we do to make sure that we could stand before God clean and forgiven. He pays the price for that. He carries that. He makes himself unclean for us. Wow. when we consider the love of Christ and his sacrifice, his gift of redemption, the fact that God has saved us from sin and from Satan,
and sometimes from ourselves,
from darkness and destruction and death, we are forgiven, we are given eternal life when we trust Jesus, and a shed load more. That is generosity in action. What a fortunate lot you are. God is good. Amen. Keeping you awake. God is generous in creation. He is generous in provision. He is generous in redeeming us. And he's generous in his presence. God doesn't leave us alone. I've done all of that. I've saved you. I've given you a beautiful West Kirby sunset. I'm giving you your dinner every day. Sort it out yourselves. Get on with it. Muddle through until you get to heaven. No. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us to fend it all out by ourselves. He shares his very self with us, his presence, his Holy Spirit. Psalm 16 says this: "You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Psalm 75 says this: "We give you thanks, O God. We give you thanks, for your name is near." Imagine, after reaching out to save us, after the big salvation plan for humanity, God leaves us all to work it out ourselves. Well, of course he doesn't do that. He is alongside us in everything that we go through, in every up and every down, in every mental health crisis that we have, in every financial crisis, in every relationship crisis, and in the good stuff too. He is beside you. Philippians 12 says this: "It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." It's his Holy Spirit within us, nearer than our nearest breath, that both equips and strengthens us and encourages us to keep on keeping on. He is near when we call, near when we need him, near when we stumble, near all the time. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, symbolizing that God has come near. Through what Jesus did for us on the cross, we can draw near to God. Amazing grace, generous beyond measure, to be given nearness to God the Almighty. Now, you hopefully are getting the drift that God is generous. Have I mentioned that? The one big point. Lavishly generous. I have chosen just four. I could have said more, but we need to worship as well. I could say more. I could say generous in the way he spiritually gifts us, generous in his promises for both now and eternity, generous how he makes us family. I have skimmed the surface of the gifts that God has for us. They are boundless and endless, just like he is. So we're going to spend eternity unwrapping and discovering more of those gifts. God is generous to us. That is who he is. So what's your response to that? If you believe that every good and perfect gift from God, as we heard, comes from God, as we heard earlier in James, then what's the next step? Ephesians 5:20 says this, giving thanks always and for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We give from the overflow of what we have been given. It shapes and transforms us as Christians to give back, to exercise generosity. It's a joy for us to learn to prize open our hands and our wallets and our diaries and our homes and our tables and our lives, because God works through all that we surrender to him. Giving is worship. So for the next 2 weeks, we are going to be hearing two particular focuses on how you can do that, how you can do that for the work of God in this place. My prayer is that together, every single one of us will reevaluate what we surrender to God, what we let him use, our time, our talents, our treasure. And we're going to ask ourselves, will we be generous with what we have been given?